The world is flat. The aliens have landed. And for those of us that remember, Pizzagate. All examples of fake news. A belief that the world was flat was started back in the 17th century. It started from the Protestants against Catholic teachings. Their belief was if a ship would go towards the horizon where the sun was, it'd drop off the earth. In 1938, the fictitious broadcast of the War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells had aliens from Martians, I guess they'd call them, from outer space landing on Earth. It was a radio broadcast. And he started the broadcast by saying that this is just an event, but not everybody was on the very first broadcast. And so it was mass panic. And then Pizzagate, that was in 2016. It was called, if those of you have Google, you can look it up. It was an embellished series of tweets that falsely accused a presidential candidate. All fake news. The recent outcry against fake news has numerous media sites pointing fingers at countless others as pervious and egregious falsehoods. In other words, they're pointing fingers at each other saying, well, no, it came from him. He did the fake news, not me. The Oxford English Dictionary have selected post-truth as its 2016 word of the year, defining it as a relating or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. In other words, people were believing or telling what they thought should be done or what their emotional status was at that time, how they felt about certain people. There's nothing factual about it. It was just sheer emotion. It was called yellow journalism back in the 19th century. And it was, back then, the Wall Street Journal editorial stated it was a race to the bottom. The fake news, false interviews, and obsessive focus on crime. That was back then. How about the fake news of Easter? How about the fake news about Jesus Christ? The title of my sermonette is More Fake News About Jesus. Now, I say more because I don't know if anyone has noticed, but little by little, the media has allowed, I guess you say the word allowed, the word that, or people to mention that they interviewed or the name of God. I haven't even noticed that. I've noticed that like in the news or in the morning news. I've heard, you know, influences of saying, thank God that this was done, and we did it because of God. And not too long ago, there was a person on morning news that they had gave him a morning skit of singing an inspirational tribute to God. This is rare, because in previous years, that wasn't even seen or heard of. But people's view of Jesus or God is different. Not way different than what we think. And so I started digging around. I found that people had different views on how Jesus views them and how we should be able to act. And then I plucked out five examples due to lack of time. The first one that's baseless, but the first example is what people think is Jesus wasn't sinless. In other words, Jesus committed sin. And it was according to a research, what they call Barna. It's a Christian research poll established in 1984 by Robert and Nancy Barna. So they polled different people, and they found out 52% of Americans agree that Jesus committed sins like other people. But if they are right, the Bible is not true, and Jesus could not be our Savior. Let's go to Hebrews 4:15. And this is a verse from our Passover, if you're any of those that we had in Passover, Hebrews 4:15. It says, "For we do not have our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Let me read that again. "For we do not have our high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." In other words, he was tempted as a man, but he did not sin. He lowered himself down as a human from his godly status for our sake. He bore the weight of the temptations of this world. He understands what we are going through. And he loved us so much that he was willing to die to pay the ultimate penalty, which we just went through. He died and paid for my sins and yours. That's what the Passover commemorates. Now let's go to Acts 2:38, a chapter that we're very familiar with and the verse we're familiar with. And he's talking. It's the NIV version. It says, Peter's talking. He says, "Peter replied, and he said, 'Each of you must repent of your sins.'" After they were asked, "What should we do, Peter?" After he proclaimed that they murdered Jesus. "And turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Now, if Jesus had committed sin, he would not be able to forgive our sins. And then it goes on, "Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Example 2. Another belief that people think of. Satan is winning. A lot of people think Satan is winning. Now remember, we've gone through a period of time before this that, there was motion of just removing God out of, of a dollar bill, not the coins, and out of the schools and everything. There was a movement of taking that. So there's a lot of ignorance in the world today, and they have this notion. So one of these second notions is Satan is winning. But if you look around the world, around us, and if you didn't know better, you'd say, man, Satan is winning. If you look at the number of people, past and present, who have claimed to be Christians compared to the whole population of the world, then it would seem Satan is winning. You know, and I don't, that Satan does not win. We read the end of the book. And it also, for those, it's Luke 4, chapter 4, about the 40 days and 40 nights that Jesus fought against Satan, or resisted Satan, and he comes out winning. Let's go to James 2. James 2:19. And James is saying, "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Now, the demons wouldn't tremble if they didn't know they were losing. Example number 3. People who have never heard Jesus' name will suffer in hell forever. Now, I've heard that personally from people. Because I've asked people that, or, that did not know what we know. This is what's kind of related to example number 2. What about billions of people? What are the billions of people who never heard the name of Jesus? That's Acts 4:12. And he says, "As the Apostle Peter said about the name of Jesus Christ, he said, 'Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.'" So there's a growing movement of people that doesn't believe that. There's a In other words, there's people that believe that you don't need to be Christian to receive or to obtain eternal life. There's nothing new. Based on many churches' teachings, the logical answer is that they will suffer in hell forever. Now, if this is it doesn't make sense if you would talk to him and say, this is a compassionate and a loving God, he wouldn't have us be torturing us forever. There are many damaging problems with that belief. It makes God out to be unfair and even cruel. It rests on non-biblical teachings. And a lot of them is Greek. Back in the ancient Greeks, they believed in the concept of an immortal soul. And satirical description above the ever-burning inferno that tortures such souls forever. That's what the Greeks believed. But we know, like it states in Ezekiel 18:4, God says all souls are his. In Ezekiel 18:4. And the end of the book, in the book of Revelation, we know that Satan is put away. Example 4. Jesus loves us so much, he really doesn't care if we sin or not. He still loves us. Americans were asked to respond to this statement in another survey. And this one was conducted by Lifeway Research. Okay? Even the slightest sin deserves eternal damnation. They were asked to respond to that. An astonishing 61% strongly disagreed. Lots of people either think sin isn't so bad or that Jesus doesn't really care about what sin is. Sin is what killed him. We know that. And these days commemorate that. He did it for us. And why does he care about so much about sin? Consider that what sin is. It's the breaking of God's law that he designed for our own good, for our own good, for a clean, moral way of life. When we break his laws, we bring evil results on us. Remember, the wages of sin is death. Remember that, brother. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that in Romans 6:23. So Christ loves us so much that we would, like our own children. We want them to do right. And so he corrects us. Let's go to John 8:10, verse 7. Let's start with John chapter 8 of John, verse 7. And this is, we're breaking into when they take the adulteress out into an area there, and they were going to stone her. And they asked Jesus, okay, they reference the Mosaic law to him. And we break into the conversation here in verse 7 in John 8. It says, so when they continue asking him, because he was ignoring them, and he finally lifted up and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. In other words, those of you who think you're great, go ahead and grab the first stone and chunk it at her. Verse 8, and again he stooped down, like he just said that one thing and went back down to his business and started writing on the ground. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, in other words, those who had a conscience started eating at them, went out one by one, beginning from the oldest and even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Just the lady and Jesus. And in verse 10, he says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those that accused you? Hath no man condemned you? And in verse 11, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Because under Mosaic law, you needed two witnesses to condemn you. So that's why he asked that. He He wants us to strive to keep his commandments, brethren. That's what Jesus was here for. He wanted us to be with him, part of their family. Example number 5. Jesus, I found this kind of curious. Jesus only a figuratively a king. He's just a figure, in story tales. Many churches teach that the millennial reign of Jesus Christ is only figurative. And millennialists don't believe Jesus will be king on the earth for 1,000 years, as promised in Revelation. But Jesus told the Roman governor Pilate that he was born to be king. That was back in John chapter 18, 37. And that his kingdom was not of this earth. And we all know Matthew 6, 10, it says, your kingdom come. And his model prayer. Yeah. Jesus warned us to watch. Be ready. Be faithful. Be wise. Be serving. Be giving. All of those are action words, brethren. So that references when he comes, he's coming for the doers of the word. That's all found in Matthew 24. The millennium and the kingdom of God are essential parts of God's plan. And followers of Christ must embrace them as long with his commandments. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.